So we continue in our sermon series. We're in, as you know, Genesis chapter 4. And things start to take a bit of a wider perspective now. We see things beginning to change, peoples spread out. And obviously there's consequences to that. So what we're going to look at now, we're going to look at point one, culture advances in this passage. Two, sin increases. And three, God is faithful. Culture advances, sin increases, God is faithful. One, culture advances. Well, we see as the passage began that Enoch built a city. Cities are places where, obviously, lots of people gather. They're quite advanced, they're quite sophisticated. Lots goes on there. And other things begin to happen as well. We see Lamech takes two wives and their children. One is called Jabal in verse 20. And he is the father of those who dwell in tents and livestock. So we see that there's a city, but there's also a rural part of the community as well. You know, you dwell in tents in fields and livestock. Farming begins, agriculture, and that sort of thing. Things that are pretty essential to human flourishing. If the farmers, you know, if farms didn't farm, if they didn't plant crops, we'd know about it. Whenever there's a collapse of a plant whenever there's a collapse in farming, there's a massive economic problem that follows. Ireland, the potato famine, it started with the potato crop failing. It happened in India, it happened in Russia, it happened in the Middle Ages in Eastern Europe. It's a very important part of human flourishing. We see another one, Jubal. He was the father of all who play lyre and pipe, or stringed instruments. That's what lyres are. And pipe, flute. Those sorts of things. So we see here music. And Tubal Cain, it was the forger of instruments of bronze and iron. So we see here that culture begins to advance. All these things are things we all would grow to depend on. We see also that families are created. So work and family is still here, even though humanity has sinned. Even though Adam and Eve sinned, and Cain, as Adam talked to us last week, murdered his brother. This is what we call God's common grace. It's God's goodness expressed to everybody, whether they're believers in him or not. They're God's blessings to all of humanity. Yes, we don't use them properly, which we'll talk about in a few minutes, but God still has blessed us all. You know, the Lord Jesus said it in Matthew chapter 5, he causes the sun to shine on the righteous and the unrighteous, and he causes the rain to fall on the just and the unjust. These are God's blessings on everybody, what we call common grace. We don't deserve it. We don't deserve anything from God other than his righteous indignation, which we read about in Romans 1. But he gives them to us because he's generous and kind and good. And that's seen in this passage. Point two, sin increases. Sin, it's a word we know. 1 John chapter 3, verse 4 says, what is sin? Sin is lawlessness. Lawlessness. Or as one writer puts it, what is sin? Sin is any lack of conformity to or transgression of the law of God. So it's not just bad things that we do that we shouldn't. It's not doing good things that we should. It's not just the bad things that we do that we shouldn't. It's not doing the good things that we should. And we can zoom into this passage. We'll zoom in on one person, Lamech, who pretty much epitomizes and personifies this descent into sin. Lamech, first of all, as we see in verse 19, he took two wives, Adah and Zillah. That wasn't God's plan for marriage. That wasn't God's plan for marriage. We call that polygamy, having more than one spouse. That's contrary to God's law and God's plan. Yes, it's one of them things that is allowed in the New Testament, but Christ restores it in his ministry. He says, people say to him when he's debating with them about divorce, they say, why did Moses let us divorce our wives for any reason? And he said, because of your hardness of heart. But from the beginning, it was not so. From the beginning, where God revealed himself, God revealed his perfect will, it was not so. So where we see knowledge of God disappear, we see the institution of marriage turned away from. Where we see knowledge of God disappear, which we do in this passage, we see people turn away from the institution of marriage as God created it. Polygamy. Lamech also murders somebody in verses 23 and 24. And this is quite a horrible poem that Lamech says to his wives. He says, Lamech said to his wives, Adar and Zillah, hear my voice. You wives of Lamech, listen to what I say. I have killed a man for wounding me, a young man for striking me. So Lamech is boasting that he might have got into a fight with somebody, or somebody might have hit him. And it wasn't that Lamech hit him back. Lamech killed him. And he says, good. He deserved it for hitting me. Now, we know that we should turn the other cheek. But most people, if they were slapped and give him a slap back, most people would say, oh, well, he shouldn't have hit him first. Shouldn't have hit him back, but he shouldn't have hit him first. And, you know, that sort of thing. And if it's a person who's bigger, hits a smaller person, if the smaller person hits him back, you know, he might get cheered. You know, good for standing up for yourself. But this is completely disproportionate. A young man struck me, so I killed him. And he boasts about it. Boasts about it. And look what he says in verse 24. If Cain's revenge is sevenfold, then Lamech's shall be 77-fold. That's a passage from last week when Cain says to God, your punishment's too great for me. If anybody sees me, they'll kill me. And God says in verse 15 of chapter 4, not so. If anyone kills Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. So God's punishment for killing Cain was that whoever killed him, his revenge would be sevenfold. God's revenge on him would be sevenfold. But Lamech says, doesn't matter. If someone strikes me, 77-fold back on them. I'll kill them. So we see also hate and pride in sin. Lamech's boasting about that. And ultimately, what we call idolatry. Not worshipping the true God as God. God who is the creator of life. God who is the creator of marriage. God who is the creator of all of us made in the image of God. To know him, to love him, to serve him, to glorify him, to bless him, to serve him. Lamech puts himself in the place of God. This is what we call godlessness. Godlessness means, obviously, we say a godly person is someone who is like God or practices the values that God commands in his word. Godlessness is the opposite. Godlessness is forsaking the knowledge of God. Or as Paul says in Romans 1, suppressing it, because God has revealed himself, both in creation and in the law that he's written on our hearts. And we still retain a knowledge of it despite the fall. But the suppression of that knowledge of God leads to immorality, as we see here in this passage. So Adam and Eve sinned. They sort of were sorry for it. Cain, they made excuses, didn't they? Well, he did it, she did it, the serpent did it. Cain didn't even make excuses. He made it all about himself. Well, if you punish me like this, I'll be dead. Lamech, he boasts about his sin. See the slippery slope, the slide into immorality? That's where we are. That's where this passage is. And yes, it's where we are today. But, or as Liz said once, but God is faithful. Yes. Point three, God is faithful. God continues to shower his blessings on sinful people. As we've said, all this sin is going on, and God's still blessing them with culture, with music, with manufacturing, with agriculture, with family, with all the blessings that God has given. And Adam and Eve have another son, Seth. They say, Eve says in verse 25, God has appointed for me another offspring instead of Abel, for Cain killed him. Look at how she acknowledges God. Said, God has given me. God has appointed me. It's God that's done this. Why? Because this is significant, because God had made a promise to Adam and Eve that their seed would crush the serpent's head. That someone would come and right all the wrongs of humanity. And we know him as the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus is in Seth's line from Adam. The godly line from which the seed of Adam, the seed of Abraham, the son of David, all them titles that he has, he comes from this line to put right the wrongs of the world. To live the life that Adam, that Cain, that Lamech, that everyone should have lived, and to die the death that we all deserve to die. The Lord Jesus Christ came to do that, to take all our sins, to pay the price, and to make us right with God, and to give us something better, as we heard yesterday. This is what Christ gives us, is better than the Garden of Eden. Because in the Garden of Eden, it was possible to sin. What Christ gives us, it's impossible. Once we're glorified, once we're in heaven, it will be impossible for us to sin. This is better than Eden, what Christ gives us. Adam and Eve had another son. That shows God's faithfulness. And even in the midst of this, God is saving people. Verse 26, to Seth also was born a son, and he called him Enosh. And at that time, people began to call upon the name of the Lord. What does it say? Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. The Lord God was working salvation, was saving people in these dark days of this passage. And think how little special, what we call special revelation they had. They had one promise, the promise given to Adam and Eve that there'd be a seed who would crush the serpent's head. That was it. That was the only promise God had given. There were no churches to proclaim his name. There were no sacraments to make known the sign and the seal of the covenants. There was none of that. There was just that one promise. But even in that days of darkness with very little gospel light, God was still saving people. That's because as we've sung, and as the scripture says, salvation belongs to the Lord. That's in both the Old and the New Testament, it says that. Psalm 3, verse 8, it says, salvation belongs to the Lord, your blessing be on your people. And Revelation chapter 7, verse 10, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Because the Lamb is God too. He's the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus, and the Lamb is God. He's God and man in one person forever, as we said at the start of the year. So God is saving. So be encouraged. Even in these dark days, God is still working to save his elect, to bring them to himself, to make them holy, for them to pursue holiness and righteousness, to them to fix their eyes on Jesus and to bring them into glory. God is saving his people. He was doing it then and he's doing it now. So be encouraged. Keep praying for those people you love. Keep praying that they come to know God. Keep praying that God would revive his work in our land. And stay faithful to him. Because God, salvation belongs to him. He saves. He opens hearts. He opens eyes and minds. He has mercy on who he will have mercy, and he has compassion on whom he will have compassion. Such is his sovereign power and will. And God is faithful. He's promised, and he will do it. So this passage teaches us a number of things. It should teach us to enjoy God's blessings. Yes, enjoy God's blessings. As we've said, music, food, work, family, all of them are blessings given to us by God. But remember the giver as well as the gift. And enjoy them to his glory. That's what 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31 says. It says, whether you eat and drink, do all to the glory of God. You know, like Eve, she acknowledged that the child, Seth, was the gift of God. Everything we have is a gift to be used to the glory of God. Our TVs, our food, our drink, our cars, our clothes, our books, our time, all of it is to be used with thankfulness and gratefulness to God. We should, as we've said, when we're aware of sin, we should confess it and forsake it immediately. Immediately. The people in this passage didn't. And there was a slippery slope. Yes, we're born again. Yes, we're saved. But we still carry about our sinful nature with us. So confess and forsake sin immediately as soon as you're aware of it. And the best way to do that is to grow in knowledge of who God is and what he's done for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. So turn your eyes upon Jesus. Get to know God better through the Lord Jesus Christ who made him known. He is the promised one. To see him is to see the Father, John 14, verse 9. So get to know him. Read the word. Come to church and learn about him. Pray to him. God speaks to us through the word. We speak back to him in prayer. So read the Bible. Hear the Bible. Sing the Bible. Pray the Bible and see the Bible when you come to church, baptism and the Lord's Supper. And by the power of this Holy Spirit, ask God. You say, God, let me hear your word. Let me read your word and show me your glory. Let me be changed. Let me become more godly. Let me become more holy. Let me become more humble, more loving, more kind, more generous. Cry out to God to do that work in you. Make me more like Jesus. Turn your eyes on Jesus, and he'll make you more like Jesus. And finally, rejoice. Rejoice that God is faithful. He keeps his promises. Even in this passage, There's darkness, there's immorality, there's sin everywhere, and it gets worse. But God made a promise. And all of God's promises are yes and amen in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one. He is the one who saves. He alone rescues. He is the one we must come to. So if you're not a Christian today, we'd invite you to come to Jesus Christ this very day. Turn from your sins. Tell God you're sorry and ask him to save you through Jesus Christ. And then we'll all go on together, gazing on him, rejoicing in him, serving him, walking with him, till that great and glorious day when he takes us into glory to be with him forever. Amen. Let's pray. Oh God, we pray that you would plant these truths deep into our heart. We praise you for your faithfulness, your kindness, your generosity, and your goodness. And most of all, for your salvation given to us in Jesus Christ, your Son. We pray, O Lord, that we would lead holy, humble, loving, joyful Christian lives, doing all to your glory, making you known, getting to know you better, loving you, obeying you, trusting you, serving you and each other more and more each day. Lord, make these truths real to our mind and to our hearts, and may we learn your word, love your word and live your word to your eternal glory. Amen.
Amen.